Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I remember sitting at home watching television, and on one of the big national shows, the Cowsills were coming on, and they had the cutest little girl, young singer, and she was part of this band. It was her family, and she was the young one, and she was just the cutest little girl, and that was Susan Cowsill, and this was one of their big hits. And she has grown up to be just a beautiful woman, and Susan Cowsill, a dear friend of mine, joins us on WWL. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Scoot. Good afternoon, New Orleans.
Hey, listen, are you still touring with the Happy Together tour?
Yeah, we are. We have our last three shows coming up, and then I head back to NOLA for one day, then I'm off for a few, but back home after that for the rest of the holiday season with a couple of one-offs.
Well, we have to get together and catch up.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Look, so, Susan, it's got to feel like the tour that would never end.
It is. It's our 11th year, for which I am incredibly grateful for. It's the longest running day job I've ever had.
Yeah. It's amazing.
But it's wonderful. It's just a good time out here. People, the baby boomers will never say die. Yeah. They're going to always come to concerts. So I'm grateful for it, but I'm very homesick.
Well, it's always great to have you back here. And it's so cool that you picked New Orleans as your home, and you have been here for a while. You were here for Katrina, and I know this is going to be a tough conversation for you, so let's just do the best we can with it. I appreciate your willingness to be here and talk about it, but this was a tough time for you and your family, and we have been remembering Katrina. It was 20 years ago. In some ways, it seems like it was longer ago than that. In other ways, it seems like it was a lot sooner than that, but it's been 20 years, and what are your early memories of the day before Katrina, which is where we are now? 20 years ago today, that storm was heading for New Orleans.
Yeah, it sure was. 20 years ago today, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was at a home recording studio of my longtime, my first love ex-boyfriend, Dwight Twilley. He was a pop artist back in the 70s. We were recording. I was doing some recording with him up there, and my husband, Russ, was back in New Orleans, and he was installing an air conditioner and some sheetrock into our little mini studio that we had in the downstairs of our little shotgun in NOLA. So I was recording the day before, and Russ was working downstairs, and he had been for days and hadn't really communicated with anybody, so he didn't know what was going on. So his mom came over, knocked on the door, and said, "Buddy, what are you doing, and why haven't you called me back? We got to get out of here." So Russ, he evacuated that night. I think it was that night. Was stuck on the water bridge on the way to Alabama for 8 hours.
Wow.
As the water rose around him. Yeah. It's heavy.
Yeah. So it was
and I was supposed to come home the next day. That was my return home from Dwight's, but instead I beelined to Nashville, and Russ and I met each other in Nashville, and the journey began.
Wow. So how long was it before you came back to find your home the way it was?
6 months. Well, no, 2 weeks. Okay, so we traveled around and placed our children. My daughter went to live with her aunt and my brother in Malibu, and my son went to Alabama, and Russ and I were in a Kia Sedona for 6 months. But we were just driving back and forth and driving around, and Lafayette kind of opened up, and we went up to Lafayette to meet a bunch of us, and there was talk of opening in New Orleans. It was about 2.5 weeks later, but it was only for police and stuff like that. So I made friends with a cop that night who escorted a group of us in, and we went in to New Orleans on, it's Thunderdome. It was apocalyptic. And we went in. I went looking for my brother. My brother Barry was there. He had left messages over the last 2 weeks, and he was in town still. So we drove in, and it was really, we pretended to be press. And when the guy, when the officer left us, he said, if you guys go out there, you're under their law. Meet me back here at 5 and I'll escort you back out up the 90. But if anything can happen while you're here, good luck.
Okay. Now, Susan, your brother Barry was missing. You didn't know where he was.
No. He and I both lived in NOLA at the time. And Barry was scheduled to go into a rehab up in Tennessee at Cumberland Heights that Monday. He was going to fly to L.A. and stay with my brother for 2 days and head to this rehab. But he was hung up. He was in the warehouse district at our friend Squid's. And he kept leaving messages, okay? But we didn't get any of those messages till the 2nd of September when all of our cell phones started pinging. I'm sure everybody who had one remembers, and all the where you at's, how'd you do, where are you's started in our text world. And my brother Barry was on my machine saying he was here in NOLA and terrified and please come get him. He didn't understand what was going on. And he left his last message on September the 2nd. The phones went on. I tried to get in touch with him and I couldn't.
But Susan, here's what a lot of people may not know. Your brother Barry was missing for months. Months.
Yeah.
I mean, what were you thinking?
He was missing, yeah.
What were you thinking?
Well, we thought a lot of things. Barry was a gypsy. Barry was, he's a musical entity of grand proportions. I don't like saying genius but he really was amazing. And a true character. And so we could think of a thousand things. He said he was there, and it was the worst time ever, and hoped we would contact him, but we could not. We thought maybe he had ended up anywhere in one of the many shelters, jails, mental institutions. So we set about as a family just to call each and every one of them between here and there. And we went on Entertainment Tonight, CNN, because we were famous. We had the gift of being able to try and find our people where so many didn't.
Right.
You know, we had a leg up. But anyway, B was not to be found. And somewhere around December, we came back in January, and the children could come home for school. And in December, we were back earlier getting a place ready for the kids. And my brother Bob called me and said he was going to submit some DNA. And he did. And ironically, that December, he was found. Noka, or the Charter Street Wharf over there that used to be a Charter Street Wharf. Anyway, so, but it was really, it was a good thing though, Scoot, because the looking was really tough.
Yeah.
That was really tough. And wondering where he was and people saying they saw him and all this nonsense that always happens. But look. Life happens, man.
Yeah.
You know?
And since he was a gypsy type, you had every reason to believe that he might have just, kind of gone somewhere else and disappeared somewhere.
And I will give NOLA the quickest little ghost story. On the Audubon Tree of Life, and we all know it well, right when I came home, there was a locket hung on that tree, and our friend Derek Houston, a fantastic horn player for the Iguanas for many years, he said, hey, I saw that locket. And that plaque on the tree, there was a plaque, Scoot, that had been hammered out, nailed out in dots. And it was hung on the Tree of Life. And it said, Barry Cowsill died on the levee, a genius, the 2nd of September. Dude, I'm not kidding. And I mean, so the mystery continues. We don't know what happened to B. And the plaque is gone. I used to go visit it, and it's gone.
Oh, so sad. It's so sad.
It's a ghost story, though. Listen, my brother was not meant for this planet this time around. So try to see it as a remarkable ending to a remarkable story, and he'll be back.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Yeah. Well, that's a great spirit, a great attitude to have about that. But you know, for somebody being missing for 4 months, and then you get the news that he's been found, it had to be just so hard for you.
He's left. Yeah, it was rough, you know, but you know, we would say before that, we'd say, well, look, we're all right. You know, we didn't lose anybody. And then we lost B, and then it changed to, look, we're okay. You know, we just lost one guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people lost a lot more.
You know, I have always admired your positive attitude, and it's not shallow. I mean, you like deep down in your core is this just overwhelming optimism that just pours out of your body.
Yay.
And it's
Yay.
Great.
Yay me.
Yeah, I'm serious.
I mean,
it's
awesome. I mean, it saved my life. So I'll agree with you and just be grateful for it, you know, and it doesn't mean I'm not a train wreck like the next guy. It just means that my derailed train off, it just always finds its way back upon itself.
Oh, yeah, I can see aspects of a derailed train there. No doubt.
I love it.
And for those who don't know you, I mean, Susan Council, even to this day, is still a hippie. I mean, you're a hippie. You're still
am,
a hippie.
Sir. I am, and I always will be.
You know, I just mentioned
away from me.
I mentioned briefly about your hits and a little bit about the controversy involving the song "Hair" that you guys did. And for those who are new to our show and haven't heard our conversations, the Councils were actually set up to be the Partridge Family. They were going to be the family that was going to be on that show. And Susan's dad did something to, you know, piss off the producers or something. And they decided, okay, you're out. Councils are out. We're just going to find some actors and we're going to create this family, the Partridge Family. But it's based on the Councils.
It was definitely something like that. And it's good. The world needed the Partridges, man. And there are TV cyber family. We love those guys.
Yeah. And you've got just such great connections with that whole world. And
but you know what my favorite connection is my connection to New Orleans, Louisiana, because that is my soul home. And the gratitude I have for the invite and the welcome that our city brought me, I will be eternally grateful. I always have a place to go home to, and I'm grateful for that.
All right, I want to sample a song that you wrote, Could This Be Home? And
yes.
This is a great song. You wrote this about Katrina. So here is the Susan Council song, Could This Be Home? We'll sample a little bit about this song, and then we're going to come back and talk to Susan about it. This is Could This Be Home by Susan Council. Susan, I get the feeling that you came to realize that home is not, it's not the physical structure of the house, that home is being here and being among these people, and many of them didn't have homes, but this was still your home and their home.
And the irony of that was not lost. It was the most fantastic, in the most truest sense of the word, feeling to be homelessly home.
Yeah.
You know, to just get me back. Let me just walk on the street and see my neighbor. And then everything's going to be okay.
Was it hard to write that song?
Man, not with me. Here's me. Like, I don't write songs. They write me. And during that time, Russ and I, and he and I were feverishly writing. He wrote that with me. No, because we were evacuated at one of our many places in Oregon at my brother Paul's house. Everywhere we went, we tried to picture maybe living there because we effectively had no idea if we could ever go home yet. So every place we landed, Nashville, you know, Oregon, Indiana, Kentucky, can we live here? And that's where that song came. Could this be home? This could be home. No, you know, and it's like, and then the idea being, well, why not just go back? Like, cause it won't be the same. We can't go back. I mean, are we, you know, the tragedy, the children, it's like, well, wherever you go, there you are. So why not go somewhere where there is such a huge community of souls? You know, it was a no-brainer, man. It was no-brainer to go home.
Well, what was it about New Orleans that of all the places that you had been as being part of the Councils, I mean, you got a brother that lives in Malibu, of all the places you could live, why New Orleans?
I think that's that thing that we all know, and that's why that song was written. What it, you know, do you know what it means to miss New Orleans? Yeah. It is a mystery, and I know I'm known for being cosmic, but this is straight up scientific truth that once you come here, it just gets you. And I was only supposed to be here for 2 years. My first husband and I, Peter, we were moving back to the East Coast where we both came from, and I didn't want to go. I feel that it is a lot of places on the planet that to me are they're planetarily correct for my soul and a lot of people's, you know, and like minds tend to gather in said places. Yeah. And I just think it's you tell me, Scoot, what are you doing there?
Well, you know, I came
Why
back.
Are you here?
I mean, I came back and I, of all the places that I lived around the country, I think I'm happy to be here the same way you are happy to be here.
It's authentic. It's authentic. Yeah. And I can be me and all of the me's. I mean, you know, the radiators, you know, Dave Malone, he's a big fan of mine. And that makes me feel cool because he's a badass and I'm a cow sill. But in New Orleans, I'm Susan and he's Dave.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Across the crawfish table.
Well, Susan, look, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. And I know it was hard to talk about your brother, but, you know, those stories are part of the fabric that makes the city what it is today. And, you know,
I love hearing
your enthusiasm about the city. And I just, you know, you're such a colorful person that you did a great job of sharing those thoughts during and
thank
after
you,
Katrina
Scoot.
With us.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see you when you get home. We'll get together and catch up.
All right, man. All right. Everybody stick together, sit tight, cool off. And Christmas is coming. Yay. Yeah.
All right. Susan Cowsill on the road with the Happy Together Tour in Ohio, I think. Get out of Ohio when you can.
I'm getting out of Ohio.
All right.
I love y'all.
We're going to break with a little bit more of Could This Be Home, a song Susan wrote about New Orleans and the city after Katrina.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.